Thank you, Ian. Thank you to the musicians. If you can remember way, way, way back, before Christmas actually, we've been looking at doing a series in Minor Prophets. Now, I'm not going to start back at that for a few weeks. I have 2 weeks and then I go on 3 weeks holiday. So my plan is to start the series back up on Minor Prophets once I come back from holiday. So I'm going to have 2 weeks of looking at something else that I've been wanting us to consider. And that's what we're going to be doing this week and next. Looking at our conscience. Our conscience. Let's pray first and we'll ask for God's wisdom. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for every gift you give us. And Lord, even within our very being, there are gifts that you have given us. One being the conscience. Thank you for that. I pray that today may help us to just understand it a little bit better. And Father, be wise with it as well, as we should be with every gift that you give us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, for some people, the greatest battle that they have doesn't come from other people. It actually comes from within as they try and deal with their own conscience. They struggle to live with those constant thoughts and feelings of guilt that come from their conscience. Now, it's true that some people should struggle with their constant feelings of guilt from their conscience because there is sin in their life that they need to deal with. There is no doubt about that. But there are others who have constant struggles with what is basically false guilt. And it's for this reason I want to look at the topic of conscience for the next 2 weeks, because if we can understand the conscience and how it is actually meant to be used, it could help us in a lot of ways, particularly when it's causing us problems when it shouldn't. Now, we don't have to convince the world that there is a conscience within every man. It's a very common word that's used, and rarely does anyone deny its existence, even the unsaved. Now, you hear people say, well, my conscience is clear. All right, they're very happy to say that. Or, his conscience must weigh heavily upon him. Or, I don't know how they live with their conscience after acting like that. Or, they mustn't have a conscience, or whatever it may be. If you look out for the word conscience, you'll discover that it is used quite a bit, even amongst the unsaved. In fact, scientists are still trying to work out where the conscience comes from. They say that it evolved over millions and billions of years as we evolved as well. It's interesting that Charles Darwin is quoted as saying this: "Of all the differences between men and the lower animals, the moral sense or conscience is by far the most important." And so that's what he says, that even the father of evolution believed that we have a conscience and it separates us from animals, and just that he comes to the conclusion, a different conclusion to us, of where it came from. So, what is the conscience? I looked up, I call it Easton's Dictionary or Eaton's Dictionary. This is what they say. You've got to listen carefully. That faculty of the mind, or inborn sense of right and wrong, by which we judge the moral character of human conduct. Let me read it again. That faculty of the mind, or inborn sense of right and wrong, by which we judge the moral character of human conduct. Now, I think that's a very good explanation of the conscience. But I have found one that's a bit more simple for us to understand, and that is the pain that you feel inside when you do something wrong. Now, that's probably a little bit easier to understand. We all have experienced those feelings of guilt or pain within when we have done something wrong. We're about to do it, and we know what we're doing is wrong. Once we've done it, we feel as though we have done something wrong. Now, the word conscience isn't a stranger in the Bible. In fact, the word is used 32 times in the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul uses it 21 times. And the Greek word for conscience is made up of two words. The word sun, which means together with, and the word ido, mean I know. So if you put them together, basically, to know with ourselves, it means, or to be one's own witness. And so the conscience of man is the ability to witness to ourselves that what we have done is either right or wrong. We don't need somebody else to tell us if what we've done is right or wrong. We are able to tell ourselves that what we have done is right or wrong. Now, having said that, I'm not denying the work of the Holy Spirit in men as well. You know, we're told that in God's Word that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, convinces us of sin. He gives us peace when we've done the right thing. He leads us into all truth and righteousness and shows us what is right and what is wrong. And I'm not going to try for 1 minute to explain to you how much of the conscience he uses to do that, because I don't have a clue, all right, myself. But I do believe that God has made man so he will feel convicted of wrongdoing even without the Holy Spirit dwelling within. You know, the unsaved are able to have that feeling of they have done the wrong thing, even though they don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And I believe this is because we're made in the image of God. This is a gift that God gives to humans, which I do believe sets us apart from animals. There's plenty of other things as well, but that's one of them. We are made in the image of God, and so we have the capacity to reason within ourselves. We can determine if an action meets the standards that we are to live by. Now, God tells us this in His Word, that that's what it's for. Turn over to Romans chapter 2, would you? This is Paul referring to the conscience. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says this. Verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in the hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, that meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. Someone wants to mow the lawn. Oh, no, whippersnip. Obviously, they don't have a conscience. Okay, where were we? Verse 15 is the key one, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Here we see that the Israelites knew what was right and wrong from the law of God. God told them what was right, what was wrong. They didn't have to work it out for themselves. But Paul explains that the Gentiles, who didn't have the law given to them, still did those things that were contained within the law. They still had a basic understanding of what was right and what was wrong. And this was due to their conscience, he says there. They still knew it was wrong to murder, to steal, to lie. There was a sense of morality to some degree. Certainly not to the extent that the Jews had. But they still had a degree of morality. And where did it come from? Well, Paul says here that it came from the conscience. Their conscience worked as a judge to tell them that their actions were either right or wrong. As it says there in verse 15, their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Now that's very important to take note of, because that what that means is every person when they stand before God is without excuse. No one is able to say, hey, I didn't even know what I was doing was wrong. I didn't have your Bible to tell me. Or no one can say, hey, I've never sinned, because they have a conscience that has told them throughout their life that what they are doing is wrong. And so no one is without excuse. We all have a conscience, saved and unsaved. The difference that we have as Christians is we not only have a conscience telling us the difference between right and wrong, but we also have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us who convicts us of those things that are right and wrong. Now, the problem that we often can have is sometimes it's hard to know if it's the Holy Spirit telling you that something's wrong or if it's simply your conscience. When you feel guilty, is that your conscience at work, like the unsaved person, or is it the Holy Spirit? Now, if the Holy Spirit and the conscience is working perfectly together, it doesn't really matter, does it? But just say your conscience isn't what it should be. That's when there can be a lot of struggles to know, is this God telling me it's wrong, or is it just my conscience? You see, we need to realize that our conscience isn't infallible. In fact, it has been defiled through the fall, just like everything else. You know, over in Titus chapter 1, if you turn there, please. Titus chapter 1 and verse 15, we read this about our conscience. Verse 15, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. You know, sin defiles our entire body, including our conscience. That means there are times when people don't feel guilty when they should feel guilty. But on the other hand, there are times when people feel guilty when there's no need to feel guilty. The conscience isn't working always the way it should. It has been defiled. And the reason is because of the fall. Now, despite that, we still have to live with our conscience, don't we? We just can't say, okay, conscience, you're not functioning right here, just you go over there. No, it's within us. Like, we can't like have a conscience transplant, like if your heart's not working right or something else. It's there. We can't see it. We have to live with it. And that's why it's important to have a good understanding about the conscience so we can live with it. Otherwise, it can be a torment for every person if it's not working right. And so what I want to do this morning and next week is look at a few things about the conscience that I trust may help you in order to live with it in a manner that is glorifying to the Lord and helpful for each one of us. First thing I want us to notice, and we have to turn back to chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, verse 15, is our conscience is a judge, not the law giver. All right? Our conscience is a judge. It's not the law giver. We need to know that the conscience doesn't decide if something is wrong or right. It doesn't make the standard. It just is there to remind us if we have broken the standard or not. As we look there in verse 15, it says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, all right? Their conscience is speaking to them. And their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Basically, what this verse is saying is our conscience is the one who that excuses our actions or accuses us of our actions. It's like in a courtroom, the judge doesn't make the law. The judge doesn't decide what is right and what is wrong. The judge declares if a person is guilty or not guilty of breaking the law. That's what a judge is meant to do. For example, just say you lived in a country where the law of the land said it is okay to steal from people. All right? And so you steal something from your neighbor. And your neighbor doesn't like what you did, so he takes you to court. And he says to the judge, "Judge, this person stole my whippersnipper." All right? Because he thought it was too noisy on Sunday. Now, regardless of what the judge thinks about stealing, he can only go by what the law says. And he will have to say, well, the law says it's okay to steal. And so on the basis of the law, this person is not guilty of any wrongdoing. See how the judge has to make a decision based on the law. They don't make it up themselves. Now, if you lived in a country where the law determines that it is wrong to steal, well, then he gives a different judgment. And this principle carries over to a person's conscience. A person's conscience doesn't or shouldn't make the standards. It only accuses or excuses a person on the standard it was given. Let me give you an example of how this would work. Just say that you grew up in a land where everyone thought that eating apples was wicked and sinful. All right? As crazy as that sounds, your conscience would work this way. Just say you got taught from an early age from mum and dad, we don't eat apples because they are wicked and sinful. They even have little stories. Oh, look at this person. They ate an apple and look at the terrible things that they had. Good people don't eat apples. And so you get brought up being told by your parents, by your society, apples are evil to eat. Just say the law of the land is anyone getting caught eating apples has a minimum prison term of 10 years. That's how wicked apples are. Then one day you come across a nice red juicy apple and you eat it. I will guarantee your conscience will be saying, you have just broken the standard whereby you're meant to live by. What you're doing is wrong. Now that's not the Holy Spirit telling you that. That's your conscience. You have been brought up saying this is the standard, this is the law of your life, and your conscience is acting like the judge saying you have eaten an apple. That is breaking the law of the standard that you're meant to live by, and you will feel guilty for it. That's how the conscience works. You know, my parents, being very good Methodists, thought it was wrong to swim on Sunday. And so I was brought up being told that swimming anywhere, maybe except for the bath, but swimming anywhere on a Sunday was wrong. Even in your own private swimming pool. So we had our own little private swimming pool. I wasn't allowed to swim there on Sundays because it was wrong to swim on Sundays. Now, the thing is, when I left home and I went swimming on Sunday, I felt guilty. I felt guilty that I was actually swimming and doing what Mum and Dad said was wrong. Although I was swimming with other very godly people who didn't feel guilty at all. They didn't feel guilty about swimming on Sunday, but I did. Now, was that because the Holy Spirit was convicting me and not them? Was it because the Holy Spirit was convicting both of us, but their hearts were so hardened they didn't feel it, but I did? Or was it because I was brought up with a different standard to them? And my conscience was saying, Alan, you're breaking the standard that you were brought up with. And so that's why I was feel guilty, and it had nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Well, I am quite certain it had nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, and it had everything to do with my conscience bearing witness that I am breaking the standard that I was brought up with. See, my children have never been grown up, being brought up being taught that it's wrong to swim on Sunday, and I'm pretty sure that they don't feel guilty swimming on Sunday. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, but our conscience bearing witness, am I breaking the standard or law that I was brought up with? And this can vary in many ways. I read of a story of a pastor whose culture saw nothing wrong with smoking cigarettes. So he smoked. He was a pastor who smoked cigarettes. He went to another country, and there he was meant to be the guest speaker, and there was mixed bathing. And he was horrified that there were people swimming together, like male and female. And he was very critical of that church. And so you get the picture, because I should say that in their culture, it was a very wicked thing to have mixed bathing. So you have the picture of this pastor puffing away. Look at those terrible people swimming in the same pool, male and female. That's terrible. And he's puffing away as he's doing it. Now, that's very confusing, isn't it? He didn't feel guilty about smoking, but he would have felt terribly guilty about mixed bathing. His conscience told him one action was wrong, while the other action was right. Well, I know for a lot of us, we would have it in reverse. It's okay to have mixed bathing as long as you dress modestly, while you shouldn't be smoking. Well, for some of us, we might think both are wrong, and you shouldn't do either. And I knew a man who was brought up as a very good Catholic. And even after he was saved, he said that he felt terribly guilty that he didn't go to confession. He struggled with that. On Good Friday, he struggled to eat meat on Good Friday. Even though his head was saying there's nothing wrong with it, he felt ever so guilty if he ate meat, because that's what he was brought up with. His conscience was telling him that he wasn't living by the standard by which he was brought up with. And so, what this means is, just because you feel that something is wrong, it doesn't mean it definitely is. That's one thing we need to take from that. Just because you feel as though something's wrong, that doesn't mean God in heaven is saying that is wrong. But on the flip side, just because you don't feel guilty about something, that doesn't mean it's definitely right. You know, if someone says, I don't feel guilty at all about killing my neighbour, does that mean it's okay because they don't feel guilty? If someone says, I do not feel guilty at all about lying to my wife, does that mean it's okay because they don't have a conscience where they don't feel guilty about that? Or, I have such a peace about living in this de facto relationship, I don't feel guilty at all about it, I feel quite alright, and I believe God's happy with me, I don't feel guilty, and so God must be happy with me. Just because someone doesn't feel guilty, does that mean it's right? Well, no. What it means is our conscience has been defiled in one way or another. It could be by wrong standards being brought up, or our culture that we live in. And it's because of this, we all need a sure and a true set of standards for our conscience to make a judgment from. That's what we really need. We need a sure set of standards to help our conscience function properly. And the only true set of standards is God's Word. That's where you're going to find it. If you want to be able to live with your conscience, the first thing you must do is have God's Word as your true and final set of standards. Otherwise, you may be tortured by your conscience, where you think something is wrong, even though God says it isn't. Or it could be the other way. You could be doing things that are wrong in the sight of God, even though your conscience is saying it isn't. We can't let our conscience govern our standards, just like we can't let judges make the law in our land. Our lawgiver is God's Word. And it's God's Word that should govern our conscience. Otherwise, there's lots of problems. We have, like the children of Israel, at that time when everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. Oh, I think it's okay, so it's okay. We have everyone doing whatever they think is right. And sadly, we live in a culture today where we have discarded God's word as that true and final standard for what is right and wrong. And we go by what we think. We make ourselves our God, and that's why we have legalized abortion. That's why we have people living in all different types of moral decay, and they think it's okay. That's why we have drunkenness, and no one seems to think that's bad as well. As long as you don't hurt anyone else, it doesn't matter. That's why we have so many problems. People are just relying on their own conscience to the degree, even denying that sometimes, instead of having God's word as that true and final standard. It's not good enough to say, to be able to say, well, I have a clear conscience about it, so it must be right. You know, the flip side of that again is, it's not good enough to say, well, it just feels wrong to me, so it must be wrong. You ever said that? Someone say, why is this wrong? It just feels wrong to me, so it must be wrong. You know, those feelings could be a product of wrong standards. Why don't you eat red apples? It just feels wrong to me. So it must be wrong, right? And it could be for anything in that regard. And if your conscience doesn't match up with God's word, then there's a need to trust God's word more than anything. You don't lean to your own understanding, but you trust what God says. You know, for example, your conscience might remind you of past sin. And every time you think of it, you feel guilty. Maybe you live gripped by guilt of actions of the past, and you just can't seem to escape it. And because your conscience is saying how terrible you are, you feel that you're not forgiven. Even though God says, if you confess your sin, He will be faithful, and He is just, and He will forgive you, and you have confessed, you have repented, but you remember those things, and you feel so guilty, and so you live feeling as though God has never forgiven you. If God's forgiven me, why do I feel so guilty still? And so your conscience isn't working the way it should. That's where you need to trust God's word. God says, if I confess my sin and He is faithful, He does forgive. I am forgiven. This is not the Holy Spirit reconvicting me. This is my conscience not working the way it should. You know, another example. If your teaching growing up tells you that you need more than faith in Christ to be saved, and you feel bad that you're not trusting also in baptism or the Eucharist or some special blessing from somewhere, guess who's wrong? You're wrong. The conscience is wrong. Because God says it is faith alone in Christ that does this. You know, in these cases, people must trust God's word instead of their own conscience. And sadly, some people get so caught up in false guilt, they choose to listen to their conscience instead of God's word. What should be the standard? God's word. But they choose to listen to their conscience because they don't have an understanding of what that conscience is meant to be like and how it's meant to function, and they think it's the Holy Spirit when it's not really. You know, we have an example of the conscience playing havoc in the lives of Christians in the church at Corinth. Would you please turn over to Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, because there was an abundance of meat there at Corinth, because all the heathens would go and offer up all this meat to their heathen gods, their idols, there was an abundance of meat, and so the priests would sell it cheap in the stalls as second-hand meat, that had been offered to idols. And some Christians, they had no problem going and eating that cheap meat. Hey, this is a cheap way to get meat. I don't care where it came from, it's just meat. Can't hurt me. while others really struggled to eat this meat. They saw it there and they felt guilty. They're eating it and they're feeling so guilty inside. Now, what was making them feel guilty? Was it the Holy Spirit convicting them? If so, why was He convicting them and not the others who had no problem eating it? Or was He convicting both, but they were just too hardened? Or was it something to do with their conscience? Well, let's see what Paul, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, says is the problem with those who are feeling guilty. Chapter 8, verse 4. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. So Paul says, about those that meat offered to idols, we know there's nothing in those idols. They're not real gods. He goes on to say, verse 5, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. And so he's saying that we know there's nothing in those idols and in that offering there. They're not real gods. There's only one true God, God the Father, God the Son. So what was the problem with these people that were struggling? Verse 7, howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. Not everyone had realized that those idols were nothing, that there was only one true God. They didn't have this knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol, unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. What was happening here is some didn't have the knowledge about the true God, how there was only one real God, that these weren't real gods, that meat, as Jesus said, it goes in, that doesn't defile a person, but it's what comes out of their heart. They didn't have that knowledge. And so it was a lack of knowledge that was defiling them. As he says, they had a weak conscience. And what that means is they had a conscience that made them feel guilty over things that they didn't need to feel guilty about. This wasn't a matter of wrong or right. Some people say, oh, I can live in a de facto relationship. I don't feel guilty. You're the one with a weak conscience. No, God makes it very clear. One is right and one is wrong. But here, it's the opposite. There was nothing actually wrong in God's eyes eating that meat. But some had a weak conscience. Their conscience was playing havoc with them. And so it was a struggle for them. Their inbuilt guide to what's right and wrong wasn't working properly. So it wasn't the Holy Spirit convicting them. It was their own conscience. So what was the solution? Well, Paul puts it back on the people that had the knowledge. He says in verse 1 of the same chapter, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So he says, hey, you need to act loving to these people that are having a problem with their conscience. But if you go down to verse 8, we read what he gives instruction with. He says, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. It doesn't matter if you eat that meat or not. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak, whose conscience isn't working properly. For if any man see thee which has knowledge, I could say knowledge of what God really thinks on this matter, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him that is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols, and then he eats and he feels guilty and so on. And so what was the solution? The first solution was those who don't have a weak conscience in a matter of where it's something that's not wrong in God's sight, we need to be careful with that person. Not think we're better and critical, but help them through this. And then the next stage, and it doesn't say it here, but really the next stage would be to teach them the truth of God's word. Teach them what God really says about meat and how Jesus said it's not what goes into the body, but what comes out that really defiles a man. Now that would be the solution for these people. And it's the same solution for those who feel guilty for other reasons. Like that man who felt guilty about not going to Mass. You just laugh at him, say he's being silly, or do you show him from God's word that it's not wrong to miss Mass? In fact, it's right to miss Mass and show him why. What about the person that grew up feeling not being taught that you should pray for your ancestors, and now they feel guilty, they're being told they shouldn't pray for their ancestors? Teach them the word of God, give them the knowledge of God's word, and so they can base what they do on knowledge. What about the person who is struggling with the sins of their past? Do you just say, oh, don't be silly, it's been forgiven? Well, that is true, it's been forgiven, but how about teach them from God's word why they can have that liberty in Christ and enjoy forgiveness and so on. Teach them, they need knowledge of God's word. Even on the other side, those who feel guilty about enjoying things that God wants you to enjoy, teach them from God's word what He says. This should be our final standard in life. And so if you're struggling with feelings of continual guilt, and many people do, the solution is, the first thing is to go to God's word and discover what God says about it. Has God told me the answer if what I'm feeling is right or wrong? I'm not just going to listen to my conscience. Above all, I'm going to listen to God's word. If God says it's okay, I shouldn't feel guilty about it. If God says it's wrong, regardless if I don't feel guilty or not, I shouldn't be doing it. You go to God's word. And if it's the case, and if you don't do that, well, then you're going to be tormented by your conscience for the rest of your life. True peace is found when you find what God says and trust Him. Now, there's one little problem with that. What happens if you go to God's word and it doesn't say anything about apples? Well, there are things that you can decide about if it's... He says all things are clean, all right, in that regard. So there is something. But what happens if with your problem, there's nothing in God's word about it? What do you do then? Well, we're going to look at that next week. But this is where it is so important to make sure that you have a good set of standards, that you have a conscience that is working properly off the right set of standards. And it's not a conscience that is seared and defiled, but it is a conscience that has been exercised unto godliness. Because that's when it can be a wonderful gift to help us in those areas that aren't so black and white. So, I trust that gives you a little bit of an insight, first of all, about what the conscience is like. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we aren't just left to our own means to determine if something is right or wrong. You have made it very clear for those things that are most important for us. We are like the Israelites who have your word so clearly defining things for us. But Lord, we thank you for that gift of the conscience, and let it be guided by the standards of your word and that alone. And I pray that, Lord, we would seek to use it in a manner that is pleasing to you, and we don't let the evil one use it against us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.